And that was Thelma Plum's track, Not Angry Anymore. You're listening to 3CR 855 AM. And next up, we are going to be listening to a little bit of a section from Let's Talk, which is a program on 98.9 FM. Bo Spearim interviewing Zelenak Jabmara, who is down at the Jabberong Tent Embassy. And for folks who haven't been on social media this week, you might not know, but there's been a red alert. So the Jabberong Embassy are really calling for all folks to head down there immediately. Yeah, we might head to that interview now.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. I also would like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. And a big shout out to everybody around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service NIRS or listening via our app 98.9FM for the best country or our website 98.9FM.com.au. Those platforms beaming us into your community around this continent. It is great to have your company. Joining me on the phone this morning, all the way from Victoria, is a deadly brother that has been on the front line with some other mob protecting sacred trees down in Victoria. Just before we start, brother, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from, please?
Yes, my name is Zelenak Jabmara. I'm a part of the Jabberong tribe. Down in Victoria, just outside of Ararat, just up near the Grampians, which is a European word, but we call it Gari word. And just before I go on any further, I'd seriously like to acknowledge the elders past and present of actually whose lands we are doing the interview on. I'd also like to acknowledge all mobs around the nation who haven't come home yet and are still yet to come home. To their home and to their people and to their mob, and for those ones who are still trekking their stories and are still yet to have their homelands safe and sacred, I'd like to pay my homage and my respect and acknowledge all those mob that are on the front line all around this beautiful country.
Deadly, thank you, brother. So yeah, tell us a bit about the Jabberong Embassy and the Jabberong Embassy. When did that start?
Yeah, that started almost 13 months ago now. And what we started that was the original concept was to start in that was obviously to set up a place of protection for our sacred birthing trees on women's country here. And the state government, the federal government, and the major roads projects Victoria, which are aligned with Victorian Roads Authority, we're wanting to come through our particular part of country and put upgrade a highway. Because they say that the original highway that is there is a very, very dangerous stretch of road. And they say that safety is paramount within that. So we've given them many, many solutions as to the paramount of that safety. We've given them many other options in terms of how we can, make sure that we're all safe, even though they are driving and looking for safety, you know, while committing harm in another sense is not safety. Our mob are not going to be safe within that. Our mob will not be safe physically, emotionally, spiritually. And futurely, our mob are not going to be safe within that. They're trying to knock out and destroy part of our songline here, which is, you know, which belongs to our women and children, who are the next generations. But more importantly, our women are our creators. They're the ones who, you know, creating and giving and you know, allowing for creation for new generations. So, and we don't see that as very valuable. We don't see that as very nice either. We see that as attack on them. So as men and as warriors of our country who have been through our custom, we're standing up under law and we're protecting and preserving and looking after this place. And that's why, hence why we set up the embassy. If we understand what an embassy is all about, it's, you know, safeguard. That's exactly what we're doing at this point in time.
When did it come, when did you find out that Vic Roads wanted to come in, expand the highway bit on this certain part of country? And was there a process before, you know, starting the embassy? Because I'm sure that would have been the last resort to sort of get on country and set up.
I guess, so this process has been going on for the best part of 7 years. This planning is for the best part of 7 years. And throughout that 7 years, they've been negotiating with, one of the traditional owner groups from this part of country, which are, the corporation or the organisation that represents that particular family. And so they haven't, you know, didn't come in and obviously give everybody else a seat at the table. And that's not what our mobs are about. So we're now, you know, we're setting up that, having that place for our mob to be able to have a seat and be able to, you know, self-determine, you know, whether we think or whether we want anyone to come in and destroy what's, you know, what belongs to the women and children.
And so now you're here. You've been set up, like you said, for 13 months now. And what's that been like, setting up on the front line? You know, I dare to say I know what the weather is like down there, but it must be something crazy as well to be camping out.
When you look at it, you know, as people, and I'm sure you do it on numerous occasions a day, my brother. You know, we re-traumatise ourselves daily just to be able to live. And just, you know, it's been to set up this embassy on the front line, you know, it's been a very, very, very long, long process. It's been very, very tough, taking a toll on myself and my wife and our children and, you know, who have been on that front line for so long. But at the same time, you know, it's very warming and it's very healing to be on country. But to be on country, you know, over the circumstances that we're on country for, you know, we just shouldn't be on country for those circumstances. But, you know, this is where we're at in the 20th century. And if someone like me has to sacrifice and, you know, someone like my wife has to sacrifice in order for future generations to blossom, you know, that's what we're going to do. And, you know, right now we're standing up against, you know, people who are conducting big business, who have the lands, who have all the cultural necessities, but are still not, you know, and have all the protection orders and acts in place to protect us under the cultural heritage. And you know, it's not doing that. It's also designed for a duty of care to us as well. You know, and that duty of care isn't happening for us. So now we're standing up and standing together, and you know, we're standing up to this type of attitude and this type of, you know, behaviour, and we're holding those people very honest.
And I guess that's all we can do as Aboriginal people, and in particular in the position that you're in at the moment, is holding them to account for their wrongdoing. To the outsider, you know, and I guess to the non-Aboriginal people, looking at Victoria, you know, what they would see over the last 2 to 3 years is this discussion that Victoria wants to get in with a treaty. But then on the other hand, you know, there's this big, massive fight on the Japurong country to save these trees.
Exactly right. And you know, a treaty is all about truth-telling as well. A treaty is all about telling the truth, you know, and at the same time, you know, I don't want to get into a treaty agreement-making process with murderers, let alone liars, you know, who still can't tell the truth about their history. So what is it that we're doing within this treaty process? You know, a treaty is about a war ending, you know. It's about, you know, stopping the war and actually moving forward into a reconciliation consensus. And that's just not happening at this point in time. There are still clans within tribal grounds that aren't, you know, going to have a seat at the treaty table. And throughout that process has been a very, very exclusive process. It's excluded a lot of people, and it's something that we still need to be able to work on and still need to be able to have time to be able to work on. But at this point in time, I certainly don't want to enter into a discussion about treaty, for the simple fact that, you know, we can't even get these major roads and the Premier and the ministers, we can't even get those people to tell the truth, you know, about this sticky situation that they've been able to, you know, get us all in within this fight here, let alone the fight, you know, within the last 240-odd years of colonialism. You know, and that 240 years has been built on building and destroying everything, not taking care of, and that's why we're in a place of climate change or climate heartache. We're in a state of emergency. And so, you know, it's about time that us people started to take our proper place in this country. We know who we are. We know our stories. We know our song lines. We know our dreamings. And we've got to pass that information on to many others now that call this place home, but we also got to get them to understand their responsibility and obligation within caring for country.
But, what?
You know, it's going to be hard to care for country if they're going to destroy our sacred lands.
Of course, brother, definitely. And, you know, like the majority of times, sadly, nowadays, when mob go and occupy different parts of country, whether that's against, I guess in your case, Vic Roads, in other cases against mining companies and other pastoralist companies and these other forms of destruction of the country, it's always sadly, I say this, you know, very openly, that it's on somebody else's land, you know, like really it's not, it's on our land, but you know, there's always it's always on either, you know, private land. Is that the case at the moment where the trees are situated? Is it on somebody else's property?
Yeah, so Major Roads have acquired 12.5 kilometres worth of farmers' properties, and they still haven't even paid them farmers for their properties yet. And so, yeah, the private properties, and they've acquired them. So they pretty much bullied all those farmers to sell into selling them very cheap, into getting them cheap, and they still haven't even paid them for them as yet. And so, yeah, it's a very, very sticky and tricky situation when, you know, like you say, you know, private properties and things like that. But, you know, how it always works with us is, you know, we always stand up, we always tell the truth, we always, you know, they're still trying to educate. You know, and this country is very lucky in the fact that, you know, we're very loving and caring and warm-hearted people. And after, you know, all that's happened, you know, in the last couple hundred years and whatnot, you know, we're still here as Indigenous people, as First Nations people, saying, you know, that we want to share. We still want to share.
And we,
you know,
do that.
We still want to... And we do that. We do that very, very openly, and we do that very... And we even, you know, make allowances and all those sorts of things, you know, and we're very flexible type of people, you know?
So, and sometimes that can be sadly, that can be our downfall, or, you know, and I guess in the eyes of other people, especially, you know, when we talk about the early part of the history of this country, that can be our downfall, is the trust and love that, you know, we give other people. On that as well, what's the relationship like with the embassy, yourself, and some of the landowners around that way?
We have a good relationship with many of our landowners around this particular area. We're actually in discussion with lots of those farmers who own particular lands and whatnot. We're actually in discussion with them people around receiving some of those lands back. They're actually willing to give, you know, they're actually talking to us about wanting to give parts of the land back and whatnot, so that, you know, our mob can actually make an inroad into what, you know, what actional reconciliation is about. And that's, you know, making concrete, actional, you know, people-to-people movements and stuff. So we get plenty of support from our locals here. And we don't even treat them like outsiders. We, you know, we have that much respect for them. We call them uncle and auntie and, you know, brothers and cousins. We treat them like our own. You know, we go onto their properties when they need help with their farming and whatnot, and we make that relationship a two-way street.
Genocide here is a lot more sneaky than it is in Rwanda or other places around the world. It's one thing white fellas learnt in the last 200 years to be very sneaky about their genocide. you look at the 38 nations that were here before white settlement, and then you count up the numbers that are still surviving, still out there doing their business on their country. Well, there's only 25 left, so what happened to the other 13?
Let's talk about the Black GST. Genocide to be stopped, sovereignty acknowledged and treaties made. Tune in to Fire First every Wednesday from 11 a.m. till 12 midday on 3CR with Robbie Thorpe.